Now, there's no doubt that it requires energy to be positive, but it's worth it. So let's revisit that conversation on being positive. All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where it is Power Friday, and I'm ready to share some information with you that I believe will make your weekend pretty positive. I hope it will. I think it will. I'm going to try to help us get there. I'm going to be sharing some insights with you, courtesy of Les Brown from his book, Live Your Dreams. And, you know, from time to time, as I usually do, I'll go ahead and interject, sharing some personal insights as well. Again, the whole thing being about helping us get to the point where we're just more optimistic, more able to look at life in ways that will be beneficial to us. See how we can go about the business of really, really flowing with life instead of flowing against life and having it work for us as much as possible. One of the things that Les Brown writes about is the importance of being positively charged. Yep, positively charged. Now, don't get scared when you hear me talk like that, when you hear me mention that. He has some good meaning to it. Positively charged. Be positively charged. He talks about a couple of women he knew. And he mentions that when he was a disc jockey, a DJ in Columbus, one day he received a telephone call from one of his listeners whose name was Shirley. And it was obvious when she began talking with him that she was very, very depressed. How often have you been in a conversation with someone and it was truly, truly obvious that the person you were talking with was depressed? They weren't just sad. They were truly depressed. In fact, the depth of their downness was so deep that the more they talked, the more they brought you down. Yeah, sometimes it can be like that. A person can be truly depressed, and while they're talking with you, what's coming out of them is reaching inside you and bringing you down emotionally. It can be that bad. Well, here's Shirley's deal. She had breast cancer, and the prospects of her survival weren't strong. She'd already undergone a mastectomy. And as a result of that, her husband had become distant and cold. Can you imagine at the time that, one of the times anyway, that she needed her husband most, and not just to be there physically, but to be there emotionally, to be there mentally, to be there spiritually, to be there to support her and to encourage her. This is when he failed to show up. Bad enough that she received the diagnosis. She received the report, breast cancer. Then the decision is made that the way that she's going to be helped is by having the breast removed. So she receives the report, you have breast cancer. Then she's told you're going to need to have your breast removed. And then she actually has part of her body removed. And I know a lot of people like to make the comment about how men are fascinated with women's breasts. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Breasts are very important to women, too. Very important to women. Probably more important to women than they are to men. If you listen to the way women talk, you will learn, we'll see. It's obvious that women are fascinated by women's breasts the same way men are fascinated by women's breasts. Women talk about the size of each other's breasts. Women have procedures to have their breasts enlarged. I've seen women on TV when one person was talking about how she had the silicone implant or whatever implant she had to enlarge her breasts. Another woman who was hosting her talking and saying, hey, you know what? Do you mind if I feel your breast? And just like any number of men would be curious as to how the breast feels once an implant has been put in there, this lady wanted to feel how the woman's breast felt with an implant in it. And right there on TV, the lady said, yeah, you can feel it. And she moved forward, and the other lady squeezed her breast. I'm just saying to you, we need to get out of this notion of mythology. We need to get away from this mythology where we train ourselves to think so many things that are so erroneous. Men are fascinated by women's breasts. You know what? As children, as babies, boys and girls breastfeed. Yes, when mothers breastfeed, they don't say, well, I'm going to breastfeed my son because he's a male, but I'm not going to breastfeed my daughter because she's a female. No, boys and girls breastfeed. And so there's something intriguing about the breast, no doubt. But that intrigue is something that is the case for males and females. If it were not so, women wouldn't pay any attention to other people's breasts. And I'm not talking about just for health matters either. Just looking at it and say, wow, she's big or she's not so big. I wonder what that feels like. I saw another program just a few weeks ago where a lady was talking about her breast implants and another lady wanted to feel her breasts to see what they felt like with the implants. Yeah, breasts are important to people, not just to males, to people. Not just to men, to women, to people. And I'm emphasizing this because I'm saying to you again, I want us to kind of get a sense of what Shirley was going through. I want us to just kind of, with the inward person, kind of feel a little of what she was feeling. This part of the body that is so important to so many people, male and female, she had removed from the rest of her body. It was literally, her breast was literally part of her. Had to be removed. That's traumatic. Then if she was going to have a prosthesis placed in the place of that, the breast, she had to get used to that. And while she's going through all of that adjustment, she really could have used a supportive husband. But instead, he became distant and cold. She got to the point where she began to contemplate suicide. So Les said that he kept her on the phone and asked her if she would just hold on one more day. And he asked her to meet him the following morning to go for a drive. She agreed to that. Met him at the radio station the next day, and they went for a ride. But they weren't just riding. You know, you might be wondering, okay, this is Les Brown and, you know, this man is truly a motivating person. He knows how to motivate people. What is he going to say to her during this drive? He says that actually during the drive, they were both very quiet. He said he had no idea what to say to comfort her and to keep her from ending her own life. And that's something to keep in mind because we don't always know what to say, whether it's because a person is dying, whether it's because a loved one of someone we know has died. What do you say? He confessed he didn't know what to say. Contemplating suicide let him know that he didn't know what to say to her. But he was hoping that the answers would come out when he got Shirley to the place where he was taking her. He had a specific place in mind because there was a specific person at that place he wanted Shirley to meet. Her name was Audrey. And so Les took Shirley to the nursing home where Audrey was living. He asked her if it would be okay if he checked on a friend at that nursing home. She consented, and she actually went in with him. Here we are now. Audrey, at the age of 37, had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. How many of you have MS or know someone who has MS? That can be a very, very debilitating disease. She was 37 when she was diagnosed with that disease. She was a nurse, she was married, and she and her husband had three children. The crippling disease had turned her life upside down, forcing her to move into the nursing home. A nurse with a husband, with three children, capable, getting things done. And all of a sudden, she had to move into the nursing home. It would have been bad enough if she had been well enough, healthy enough, strong enough to remain at home, to have remained at home, but just not being able to function as well as she had been functioning previously. But her level of functioning was so, had grown so low, such a low level of functioning, such a low level of health, she had to move into a nursing home. But here's the thing. She was incapacitated. Although she was incapacitated, her spirit just remained awesome. Everyone loved her, and she was considered to be a blessing to everyone at that nursing home. Les says that he'd spoken with her on the phone frequently, but hadn't visited in many months. And so when he entered the room, he was startled at how much worse she had become. How many of you have visited a hospital and you went there to visit someone, and especially if it was someone you knew and loved, you got in there and you saw them hooked up to all kinds of machines, including oxygen machine, and they look like they may or may not last another month, maybe not even another week. And it was hard for you to take that. He walked into this room and Audrey looked worse than he had ever seen her. She was lying on her back with her knees and her arms drawn up, with her entire body clenched against the pain that she was going through. She was in such bad shape that she couldn't even brush a fly from her face. She was in such bad shape that she could not even blink. Can you imagine that? The multiple sclerosis had been doing such a terrible number on her body that she had gotten to the point where not only could she not use her hands to brush away a fly, she couldn't even blink her eyes. And so in order, and you know how important it is that, you know, we blink. That's part of the health process. The blinking helps our eyes remain healthy. So in order to help her eyes stay healthy, a nurse had to come and administer eye drops to Audrey. She was in bad shape. I mean, really bad shape. How do you suppose Audrey was responding to her situation? Remember now, we're talking about a lady who apparently had, you know, was on a mission. She had decided apparently that she wanted to help care for people. And so she became a nurse. Of course, on some level, caretaking is part of the equation when a person is a wife and a mother. You know, caretaking is part of the equation when a person is a husband and a father. In Audrey's case, of course, she being a lady, for her, it was about being caretaker as a wife and as a mother. So you have this lady who is a wife and a mother, because you do have some wives who don't have children. They're not mothers. You have this lady who is a wife and a mother and a nurse who is accustomed to taking care of people. And now she can do nothing to take care of herself. How do you suppose she was responding to that? I'll let you know as soon as I come back. Stay with me.